shit. Oh, shit. It's going off now. Highway Diaries, what's going on, everybody? I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach, a.k.a. the Eagle Caca.
And Emily Hollerbach, a.k.a. Tiger Bomb. Wow.
So, this is episode 17, Silver Spring, Maryland. Silver Spring, you think, well, that's a small little town. Why'd you stop there? Well, we got a cousin there, our cousin Kara, and Aaron and Kara, and on our dad's brother's kids, you know. And so we stopped in Maryland. It's good to have stops every 6 hours so we don't kill each other on the road and all. So this has been our last stop. The next stop is actually New Jersey, you know, where I'm from and stuff. And, you know, look forward to that, especially because we have a little cousin who invented hot steam, and we're going to get an exclusive interview for everybody. So look forward to that, please. So we just saw our cousin. Now, it has been a decade since we saw cousin Kara. And I remember, actually, the last time we saw them, we got there, and on our way, we saw these bikini cheerleaders, right? They were getting, they were doing a fundraiser, and they had a bikini car wash. And I was probably 12.
Not our cousins. This was just when we were passing through on the way to visit our cousins.
Yeah, so I'm like, now every time I go through Maryland, I get like a boner from when I was 12 years old. Like, this was the most crazy sexual experience up until that time.
Can you stop talking about your boners?
I like boner dancing. All right, so anyway, it's opened up a world for me. You just pay money and rub your boner on strangers? It's a pretty good deal. So anyway, so we were driving by, and there was this, like, high school cheerleading squad raising money the old-fashioned way, bikini car wash. We pull in, and actually, everybody got out of the car, right, and just left me there. And you were furious. You didn't like that we were making this stop, right? Well, I have a vivid memory of this. So we pull in, and, you know, it's like our mom, dad, and you and me in the car. Everybody gets out and just leaves me in there. And I just cannot believe what is happening. Because all of a sudden, a bunch of bikini-clad, gorgeous, like 16 and 17-year-old girls start dancing on the and rubbing their butt on the windows and stuff. And I'm just like, my mouth is wide open, and I'm just looking from window to window. And, you know, and also they start spraying each other with the hose and stuff. And they're like poor, like one of them just like held the sponge and just like squoze lather onto her face and stuff. It was ridiculous. I'll never forget. So every time I go through Maryland, thank you, Maryland, for that. Those images which are burned into my memory. Years ago we stayed with them, and I remember all I remember from that trip is that our Uncle Jay, you know, we went and see him, and we saw his big house, and then he was like bragging about how there's like a stream in the backyard, and then we went to go look at it, and it was like a trickle. It was like a deer piss, you know, that level of stream. And then we started making fun of his stream, and he got really pissed off. And then that's about all I remember. And then I went to bed, and you had a crazy time that night, right? So
I keep telling Eric things off the podcast, and then he'll bring them up on the podcast.
Because you tell good stories. So you showed up in jeans and a t-shirt, and our cousin Aaron...
All right, fine. Let me tell it then.
Okay.
So we're visiting my cousins, and Eric was younger, so he went back to the hotel with mom and dad. And I'm actually in the middle age between my two girl cousins. One is a year older, one is a year younger.
So you're probably like 15.
I was probably, 15. Right, because the older one could drive in Maryland at age 16. 17 in New Jersey, but 16 in Maryland. So, I, you know, grew up with brothers, no sisters, and so...
Uh-oh, girl time. Here we go.
Yeah, I'm not used to this girl time. They basically drag me into their closet. They make me change my clothes, because I just show up in jeans and a t-shirt. I don't know what's going on. And they immediately hoochify me.
Hoochify? What does that mean?
They put me in this little short skirt, little tiny skirt, And they're actually a lot taller than me. They, girls grow big in Maryland. They're, like, pretty tall. So they had to, like, remember we had to, like, tie it up and, you know, make it smaller.
So,
and they
even,
like, they hiked it up more, too, because they were like, it's too long. It, like, came just below, just above my knee or something. They were like, oh, no, it's supposed to be up here.
Yeah. So they, this is what we wear in Maryland.
Yeah, hiked it up. They put me in a little tiny tank top. And then they're like, okay, we're ready to go to the pool hall.
You're like, I'm not wearing anything
right now. Yeah, I'm barely wearing anything. That's the point, I guess. You're supposed to wear these short skirts and bend over the pool table.
Hey!
So we pick up some boys there, and we end up all going back to their house. And they had this nice pool in the backyard. And we had a little party there.
And so where are the parents at? When this goes
just
on.
Inside sleeping.
Wow. They're taking chances. Yeah. They were taking chances
our,
back then.
Our Maryland cousins, they would be wiling out.
Yeah.
That would not be allowed to go down in New Jersey.
No. Well, just our parents were very, especially our mom's a very light sleeper, so you can't just start doing some kind of hootenanny, tomfoolery shenanigans in the pool. Mom's going to wake up immediately and flood the light on us.
Yeah. Totally. Their other cousin was there, too. I'm not related to him, but it is our cousin's cousin from their mom's side. Our cousins in Maryland, our dads are brothers. So, the dad, you know, our aunt, basically, her nephew or something. We're not related, but I ended up making out with their cousin. when in Rome, it was in the South, so.
You're dressed for it. Oh, this is what we wear in the South. Oh, we make out with our second cousins in the South, too.
Yeah.
You adapt very quick.
He was in seminary school to be a priest.
What?
Yep.
Corrupting him.
I did.
You dress up like a hoochie mama, make out with a priest.
Yep.
Breaking all kinds of catechism rules.
Yep, that's what happened. Last time I was in Maryland. To the mezzanine, dressed in all pink, set
my gator shoes, those are green drapes. So also, last night we stayed in, you know, Silver Spring, Maryland, in this hotel, and I immediately noticed that Emily starts clipping her nails, and she's been doing this the whole time in the sinks. Now,
then you go wash it down the sink. What's
all right, but
problem?
You don't wash it down the sink. You leave it there. And because whenever I go brush my teeth, I'm spitting, and then I'm like, what the hell is, oh, there's 50 pieces of nail. And I don't know how much nail you're growing because you're leaving nails in every single sink where we go.
No, I wasn't.
Yes, we did. Yes,
that was
you
only
are.
The second time.
All right, well, it's gross. It's gross. Clip your nails in the trash because you're just leaving little presents for the maid to clean up. You shouldn't have the maid clean your yellow ass toenails and fingernails.
They're not yellow.
they look, well, in the white porcelain, they look yellow.
Whatever. I don't want to waste water, wash them down. Next time I wash my hands, then it'll go down the sink.
You're an environmentalist.
Yeah.
No, you're gross. You could just, there's no water involved with putting them in the trash, all right?
It's easier to put your feet up on the sink or to just lean over on the sink and cut your nails. What's the problem? Walk into the club like, what up?
I got a big cock. So our cousin Kara has had a drunken past. You know, she was wearing, you know, hanging out at pool halls, picking up strange and dressed like a hoochie mama. But we just visited her. I got baby fever right now because now she's a mom. She has a little baby Zoe, and I've always wanted to be an uncle. You know, it's always been my goal to be an uncle. And even though it's kind of a second cousin, that baby is going to be calling me Uncle Eric, and I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, I'm happy to be Auntie M.
Auntie M, Auntie M! It's pretty cool. But being an uncle and an aunt is a pretty sweet gig, right?
Yeah, our little niece is so cute. She is such a good baby. She's so quiet, which is really, you know, when I say good baby, I basically mean quiet. And, you know, just lets you hold them and tell them how cute they are.
Yeah, just very even-tempered. I didn't get puked on. I didn't get peed on. I didn't get shat on. I didn't get sneezed on. Yeah. Just sat there and every now and then had a nice little giggle.
Yeah.
What more can you ask for a six-month-old?
Yeah.
Perfect. Dressed like a cute little zebra with a little bow in their hair and stuff.
Little zebra pajamas on.
But now we're, you know, I realize that I'm going to be that old person who's like, I held you when you were a baby. I don't remember. And just like, she's going to be, you know, a teenager just like playing her Game Boy, like looking, you know, probably doing all kinds of sexting, you know, sending sex messages. Oh, I'm wearing a tight skirt. I'll be at the pool hall. I'll see you later, you know. And then I'm going to be like, I held you as a baby. She's going to be like, I don't give a shit, Uncle Eric, you know. So we're those old people now. God, I'm 27. I'm over the hill. It's over for me. Oh, God. I'll call her back. Oh, also, when we were, when we were leaving the hotel today, the valet guy wanted to help us out with our luggage. So he gets the keys and he starts opening the trunk. And then you stopped him immediately, right?
Yeah.
Why'd you stop them?
Well, our trunk is just chock full of fireworks right now.
Just rockets, Roman candles, which we're transporting across state lines. So, not
thanks for making that clear.
Just wanted to
let you. On the record.
Well, okay. First of all, I want to say everything that's said on this podcast, probably a lie if you're a lawyer. So, there we go. Or law enforcement of any kind. You know, and if you're the NSA listening, go fuck yourself. For shame on you, NSA.
Shun.
For shame on you, law enforcement. Do something better with your life.
Seriously. Are you proud of yourself?
Go out there.
Is this a proud moment for you?
Oh, I'm so proud. You know, when I was swinging on a swing as a kid, I've always wanted to listen in a cubicle for people saying things.
Private citizen conversations against our Constitution.
Must be really proud of yourself, swinging on the swing. I can't wait to bust people for having the life and that I never had. Are you proud of yourself, NSA? But, also, our car is pretty dirty right now. And so I've been scanning the road for another bikini car wash. Actually, Emily, you're pretty fine with a bikini car wash at this point, right?
Yeah, if you want to wash my car, get my car washed, that's totally fine with me. Just make sure that they rub their boobs on the windshield, get all this bug splatter off of it. I want them to rub their asses on the tires, which are pretty filthy. They're still, two of these tires are still white from going to Burning Man, so yeah, go to town.
You're like, as long as they really get in there and scrub their asses and get all the grit and shit off the car.
Yeah, just make sure they're thorough.
I would love to watch that. If they want to really take their time with the car, I'm fine with that. One thing we forgot to tell you guys about New Orleans. Definitely the best part of the trip, New Orleans, man. Unbelievable. And our ghost tour guide actually told us one thing about the vampires, right? Because when they were putting the power lines up, there was a city hall meeting about it. The vampires showed up, and they had some concerns about the power lines.
They did. They said they were planning on putting up these, like, super power lines, basically. I think there's, like, 8 lines in this one big, you know, tower. And they said that it might interrupt their flight path. They were worried that they'd get tangled up in these lines, and then the sun would come up, and they would burn up to death.
Yeah, and they literally showed up to the town hall meeting with these complaints. That's pretty badass. I really think it was just a publicity stunt. They just wanted to show up and, you know, get their name in the paper. But so far, the tour guide also says every time I walk by those power lines, I look for some vampires stuck in them, you know. But so far, that hasn't happened, you know. Maybe, I guess the vampires just flew around it, you know.
Well, probably because they burned up at that point.
Oh, you think?
There's nothing left then.
Oh, so he always checks in the morning and they're just ash.
Yeah.
That's probably what's going on.
Right.
You know, and the vampires haven't shown up to any more town hall meetings, so they've probably all got, you know.
They're all dead.
Just like a bug trap. Like one of those, like, bug zappers, you know? You just heard them go, oh, got another vampire. Or we just kind of saw our cousin, and they're adorable little, my niece, I want to call her, even though she's my second cousin or whatever. My little niece Zoe. I'm an uncle. Also, what I'm really looking forward to about an uncle is the fact that, you know, being an uncle's a great deal, and being an aunt as well, because every now and then you get to babysit and spoil the kid and then tell them weird things, you know, that they're not quite ready to hear. And then you just give it back to the parents, like, here, this is your problem now, you know? You don't have to pay for education, you don't have to, you're just kind of in their life, but not. It's a pretty sweet deal.
It's really ideal, yeah.
And, like, my roommates have dogs, and it's perfect, because they take care of the dogs, but every now and then, when I want to see a little adorable puppy and play with them, boom, they're available. They're there, but it's like, oh, they it looks like they have to go for a walk. All right, it's your problem now, Sergio, you know.
Same. Oh, he pooped.
Oh, yeah, he shat right on my bed. Can you clean that up?
This is weird.
What?
We're driving by a PT Cruiser that has no rear windows. Now it really looks like a hearse.
That is a very mysterious car. You think they're transporting things, you know, illegal things?
Maybe it's just chock full of fireworks back there.
Don't open their trunk. Hello, my ace man, my mellow. Now, I just have a list of crimes here. Alleged crimes that maybe happened. Maybe not. Probably not, though. But, yeah, they did. But.
Like, why do you want to list out all the crimes that we've done?
To make it easy for the NSA to foreshame themselves. Speeding. Shooting a Roman candle out the window of a moving car in Virginia. Transporting fireworks across state lines. Transporting weed across state lines. Oh, that was a big one. Because, like, all the way from Los Angeles to New Jersey, you know what I mean? That's several felonies there. Smoking weed in several illegal states. Jaywalking. I mean, you know, obviously. And buying coke in a bathroom. Can you think of anything else? That was the list I prepared.
No, I would rather not report any crimes.
Dressing like a hoochie mama.
That's allowed in every state.
So I'm sitting here with two of my cousins, Clark and Colin, and they know a lot about hot steam. Now, I could not actually interview Cousin D, who is the perpetrator, the originator of hot steam, because I have to get back to L.A. But you guys have encountered a lot of hot steam, right, guys?
Firsthand.
So tell me about your encounters with Cousin D, who is the originator of hot steam.
I think it all started out on one day, like family was all together, and so Cousin D, the originator of hot steam, it kind of came into play when one day he took his pants down and was putting it on various objects and saying he was hot steaming it, and I don't really know what he meant, but...
So what did he do with the trash can?
He put the trash can in between his butt cheeks, and he, like, held it with his hands, but it was still, like, in his... It's pretty up there.
So the lid was?
The lid.
Or the little handle of the trash can?
It was, like, an old-school trash can.
Okay.
And it had, like, the handle on the top, like, the tin handle, so I could imagine...
A tin handle on his bare...
In the butt.
Oh, in the butt, okay.
In the butt itself.
Well, that's different. Okay, go on.
And, yeah, so he was just going at it.
He just hot-steamed it.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah. Clark, what do you know about hot steam?
Yeah, he would really just run around and holding that cold, cold metal trash can lid, mm-hmm. run around and put his bare bottom to the ground, trash can lid in between, and hot steam things. There was no real actual explanation besides just him going at it every single time, and we kind of figured it may be something to do with passing gas based on the sigh of relief he gave out every time he sat down, and he would go, ah, a good steam right there, or something similar to that.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was always kind of scary, almost.
One thing I remember he would do in your backyard is he would dig a little hole, and then he would, you know, take his pants down and then go, steam in the hole, and then fart in the holes, right?
Yeah, yeah, I do recall that.
Without the trash can, though, without the trash can.
Yeah, right. So... Any hole he could find. I remember watching him crawl all around the rocks we have in the front yard and just putting his little bare bottom in the holes right there, just releasing gas or steam or whatever it was mm-hmm. into every hole he could.
So it was almost like a receptacle for the steam.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever hot steam anything? Did the cage, you know...
I may have given it a try once or twice, but I never really got the same satisfaction he had. Mm. It just never really appealed to me as much as it had to him.
Mm-hmm. What a brave little soldier.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he's on sort of like behavior modification medicine. Since then, has he Has he haunt steamed since he's been...
Not that I know of.
That's so sad.
Yeah, that's it really so is. Sad. Hopefully we can maybe peek in on his room one day to see him hot steaming everything in there. Mm-hmm. Instead of his mom walking in, catching him masturbating, maybe he'll be sitting on his bed.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Say that again.
What?
You know for a fact that...
I think he may be too young, but I'm saying maybe sometime in the future he'll be sitting in his room steaming his pillows or steaming his blankets or his stuffed animals, something like that, just to get that satisfaction he received when he was a young boy.
Reliving his youth.
Yeah, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Colin, how has hot steam affected your life?
Multiple hot steams have taken place on my body. Not proud of that. And, you know...
So you're saying Cousin D has hot steamed you?
Yeah, definitely. He's hot steamed everybody, probably his own mother and father. Mm-hmm. People that aren't even our relatives that he just decides to hot steam them.
Passers-by.
Yep.
Construction workers, priests.
Mm-hmm.
Bathroom attendants.
I know Vince was a, our friend Vince was definitely a victim of the hot steam. Definitely caught off guard being one outside the family, even though he was close.
We're also in your basement, and I'm looking to my left. I see your patio. There's a glass door that goes onto your patio, right? Mm-hmm. Now, you saw something else, something called Dick on the Glass. What's Dick on the Glass? And that happened here, right? Did you guys witness that?
Yeah, I think
Colin is the one who caused it.
I'm the one who caused
Dick on the Glass.
I think it started out with Peckers in the Dirt. I was watching an old Western movie on AMC, and I heard them say that. And then I said it to, and he took it into full effect, took his pants down, and in a small patch of dirt, put his actual penis in the dirt. And then when we wouldn't watch him do it after the 100th time, he decided to do it on the glass window while we were...
So you started ignoring him. He goes, I'm going to take this up a notch.
Yeah.
And then it was Dick on the Glass.
Yep.
Now, was there some still dirt on his penis when he put it on the glass?
Not that I remember.
You didn't look long enough to check
it out. I didn't look long enough to check it out.
Now, who cleaned up the glass after Dick on the Glass? And what was there to clean up?
Most likely my mother. And now that you mentioned the Dick on the Glass, definitely some dirt on there. And yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's all coming back to you. I see the image perfectly in my mind now that it's been rehatched.
Now, one thing that we haven't talked about yet on the podcast, that's probably my favorite memory with you guys, is hanging out in my basement, and we would have we had bean bags, giant bean bags. And I remember you guys would run, and you were just the perfect height where if you whip a bean bag at just the right way, it would spin like a flying saucer and then catch you guys on the head and then kind of lasso you around real quick and then drop you. Do you guys remember this?
I do remember that.
How was it to get fully like engulfed and taken out by a single beanbag in one throw? What do you remember?
The beanbag would catch your fall a little bit. So that was all
right. Hopefully. Right, because we would spin it around your head, and then it would wrap around your body, and then you would fall down like a dead gazelle, but your your body would be cocooned in the beanbag, which is a pretty good system.
Yeah, it was a pretty good landing most times, but it was sometimes rough with the initial hit of the beanbag to the face. They weren't really soft beanbags, and being thrown at the velocity they were, it really did hurt in the beginning. They were almost like leather beanbags. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Like a fake leather beanbag or something, and just getting hit with that at full speed. It was kind of rough, but the landing was always worth it, and seeing everyone laugh at you it always made it a little bit better, knowing that you were the center of attention for just that 1 second of pain that you endured. It always made it a little bit better.
Now, you guys also, especially Colin, you're pretty accident prone, right? You flipped over an ATV once, and you, I also noticed you got a scar in your right hand. What's that from?
During Hurricane Sandy, I was going to your mom's house, and I, I had the things in my hand, and I fell on her front patio.
What did you have in your hand?
My computer and my, clothes.
Sandy knocked you over?
Yeah.
So what happened with the ATV?
Before I started actually riding and, like, before I knew how to ride, I was at my neighbor's house, and that was before I even had my own quad, and I didn't know how to ride. And I didn't really understand the throttle system, and there was a giant...
Or the brake system,
apparently.
It wasn't explained.
And there was a giant ditch, and I flipped the quad into a huge, like, 500-pound ATV. I flipped the quad, and I luckily only, like, got stitches in my mouth, but...
It was actually kind of funny watching him crawl up out of this hole as he's looking back at the ATV flipped over. It was our neighbors. They may have had it for just about a year then. And he gets out of the hole. He has a hole in his lip. His face is covered in snot and blood, just completely covering him. And he says, "Whoa, did you guys see that?" And then we're like, "Colin, you're bleeding." He was like, "Oh, really?" And he, like, wipes some snot and blood off his face. And he's like, then he burst into tears, but not as much as expected. It was kind of surprising, because I know for a fact I would have been sobbing from the second that quad didn't stop as I approached the hole. And he got out of there. He almost laughed it off, and then went to the hospital and whatnot. So I was pretty surprised. That was when I knew I'm never going to be able to beat the shit out of my brother.
Now, I remember, Colin, at your house right over here, you had this big wheel. And I pushed you up the hill a few times, and then I held the back of the big wheel as you rode down your grass. And I did this like 5 times until I got tired of it. And then you, at like 4 years old, dragged the big wheel back up the hill and then rode it solo, and then flipped over the handlebars, and then then you
into the garden.
Right? Yeah, into the garden. And then I remember. After you got really hurt, but then you got back up, and then you tried to do it again while you were limping back up it. You're kind of a daredevil. You got the daredevil side of you.
Not really anymore, but as a child, yeah, I used to get hurt a lot.
What happened? Why'd you stop doing the daredevil stuff?
I kind of just grew out of the stage. I always thought I would be like a Jackass member until I was kind of a little bit realistic and realized, hey, you got to get a real job. And that's not really a thing that people do. Unacceptable in society.
Despite the fact that your plan as of right now is to move to Alaska and live off the land for the rest of your life?
But
is that a real job?
Yeah.
Is that your real plan right now, Colin?
Yeah.
Do you want to go move to Alaska and live off the land?
Mm-hmm.
Just shoot deer and elk and stuff and then eat their carcasses?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, and we were just eating upstairs, and you had an olive, and you were wondering if it had a pit in it or not, and then you didn't like the fact that it did have a pit. You know, like, if you kill a deer, it's got, like, a whole skeletal structure and, like, bones and organs and stuff that you have to deal with, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that is, I do understand that, and that would be a problem that we will solve along the way, definitely. But I still eat the olive. I was a trooper. I ate most of the olive.
Yeah, you did make a face, though, when you ate the olive.
Yeah.
I do remember one Thanksgiving, I couldn't tell you how long ago, but when we were really little, we had these little wagons. It was like just a small wagon that could fit maybe a toddler in it, had some fences, like two like fence things on the sides, and then it had a little handle in the back, like just like a almost like a shopping cart type of thing. And I remember sitting in that while you, Eric, drove us around this basement while it was unfinished. It was all just concrete. And you'd whip us around the basement as fast as you could and throw us into random stuff. Or, like, I think we had some, like, pillows from an old couch or something in the back and plow right into that every time. And we loved it more than anything. I think having you, like, not there or something for Thanksgiving, or you didn't want to play with us the next Thanksgiving, was one of the most disappointing things ever.
Yeah, we made a lot of courses. Also, in my basement, we had the Barney mobile. Do you remember this? Barney mobile that had, it was like a little car with a steering wheel where you can turn left and right, and then we would tie a jump rope to it, and then one person would run as fast as they can, and the other person would steer the Barney mobile, and then we would put up obstacles, and we also had a ramp where we would literally be jumping 12 feet in a Barney mobile that was made for a toddler, and we would just run around. And we also had a shield on our chest, so it was a jumping rope tied to a shield, and the shield the runner would have on their chest, right? And they would just be like the donkey plow and just run as fast as they could, and the other person would steer, and that was pretty good.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine. Like, it's still a little fuzzy to me, but I'm trying to piece it together. There's a lot of obstacles in that basement, Like, not even including the ones that you probably added. Like, thinking of, the several cement poles that were throughout the basement and the bar that you had.
Yeah, I broke my toe once with doing it, but yeah.
Great.
You know, sometimes you gotta suffer a little casualty for fun. So, our moms are sisters, and there's four sisters, actually. There's your mom's Aunt Colleen, and then we have Aunt Jenny and Aunt Lisa, and... we all were sitting around listening to voicemails last night from Aunt Lisa, and they were very schizophrenic, and it was like, one would be like, hi, Denise, how's it going? I'm just calling, to say I love you, and happy Thanksgiving. And then the next one would be like, when she was drunk, and it would be like, you bitch, you absolute whore, beep. Hi, it's Jenny. We just go back and forth. It was like completely bipolar. Yeah, my first memory of Aunt actually is she would come over and she goes, oh my God, I have to leave your house right now. Your mom is such a bitch. She's such a bitch. Anyway, don't forget to write. Use my email address. And she just like shits on everybody and then expects, oh yeah, I'm going to write you a handwritten letter. You'd sloppy drunk. Well, thanks a lot. I think we learned a lot about hot steam today. I think we learned a lot about our family.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you've been Clark and Colin.
Yep.
Say goodbye.
Right. Bye.
See you later.
So we stayed at the Hampton Inn in Silver Spring, Maryland, and I noticed one of their advertisements was pretty interesting. It was saying that we keep the duvet clean, covers clean. You know, it was saying about that, because not all hotels clean the duvet covers. But this one does, and they wanted you to know, because they had an advertisement of a little girl texting, like laying her whole body on the duvet cover. And what they're really saying is, we clean our duvet covers, other hotels don't, and other people jizz on the duvets, you know? So, would you have your kid laying in jizz, or do you want your kid to stay at the Hampton Inn, you know?
Very subliminal. subliminal messages there.
Yeah, because she's just looking all innocent texting. Oh, I love this clean duvet cover. Thanks, Mom, for staying where there isn't herpes jizz everywhere. Gonorrhea powder from Hooker's Past.
Gonorrhea powder?
Well, you know, after gonorrhea that's wet comes out, you know, in some kind of bodily fluid, it dries up, it flakes, it becomes powder.
Oh. Of course.
Thanks for asking.
Gonorrhea
about that.
Powder.
Yeah, you know, gonorrhea powder. That's what's on other people's duvets, not at the Hampton Inn. You know why? They clean the duvets.
And they care about children.
Yep. The Hampton Inn does not want children laying around in gonorrhea powder. Or AIDS jizz.
Syphilis smudges.
Syphilis smudges. Yeah. Of course, crabs. Crabs can live in a duvet, for sure.
What do crabs eat? Stick meat?
I don't know. And why can't they live, like, people ever get crabs in their armpits? No, you never hear that. It's always the pubes. They're living off something genital.
And it has to have hair. Maybe they eat hair.
Yeah. I guess so. But why not head hair? Why is it always
in... I don't know. But hookers used to have to shave their pubes whenever they got crabs. And then they made pube wigs. I forget what they're called.
Oh, yeah.
Mulligans or something?
Yeah. So.
Murdigans.
Mulligans. Hi, Mulligan. Give me a mustache. I gotta make some hooker pubes out here so no one knows she has crabs. You know, I've stayed in some pretty shady hotels myself. You know, in my 8th grade trip, we went to Washington, D.C., and I guess, you know, all the people in our town are a little cheap, so they're just constantly... They want the cheapest possible hotel. So we stay in an hourly kind of joint, because I guess they called ahead. We get to this place, and talk about cleaning the duvet. The middle was like, you know, you have a sheet and then a brown kind of fleece cover and then a comforter. The brown fleece blanket was covered in a layer of pubes throughout. And I remember discovering this and just holding it up, and I could not believe what I was looking at. interwoven into this brown was like perfect, like as if someone knitted it in. A layer of pubes.
That actually happened on my 8th grade trip, too.
Yeah, you stayed at the same place?
I don't know if it was the same place, but the sheets were covered in pubes. We went to the reserve blanket that was also covered in pubes.
there was a blanket and a cupboard?
Yeah.
I also remember that I was hearing crazy shit all night because I didn't know what an hourly hotel was until that night, you know? And you just kind of see it happening. You see, you know, the transactions being made, you know, and outside the front window, you know? And so we were watching this. And then also I heard definitely a woman screaming, like a trick gone bad. And I also heard gunshots. Now, I'm not sure if the gunshots came from the hotel, but they sounded like they were coming from an up direction, you know? They didn't sound like they were coming from outside. So, yeah, that's where we stayed on our 8th grade trip. But I feel bad, though, because we got the place back a little bit, you know, because we took all the blankets off of one of the beds, and we poured a whole 2-liter bottle of Mountain Dew. So it looked like someone had laid on the bed and pissed for like an hour, like gallons of pee, and then got up and went, ugh, there was no sheets on the bed, and then left. Well, I feel bad we left that for the maids. You know?
I'm just pumped about some shit.
Was we, okay, in the Liberty Science Center in New Jersey, there's this tunnel, right? It's a sensory deprivation tunnel where you have to feel around for, you know, where you're going and find your way through this maze, and there's lots of dead ends. Well, we farted in there, and, you know, we saved it up. We both, he was ahead of me. He insisted on being ahead of me, which I was a little annoyed about, but we kind of, like, got to a place, and then he said, okay, ready? 1, 2, 3, now. I just kind of put my head down. He basically farted in my face. There's no other way around it, but then we just split. Right? But I love farting.
You let your friend fart in your face in a tunnel?
Well, we both did it together, and he kind of angled it that way. He's an asshole. These are my friends. But, you know, we farted in that, which is great because, like, in a sensory deprivation place like that, you know, you don't have your eyes, so your other senses enhance.
Like smell.
Exactly. So people are going around, oh, is this the right way, right or left? And then one of their senses is just blasted by your ass, you know? It's pretty great. That's a good place to fart.
I'm pumped about some shit from a thrift shop.
Also, my buddy, my same buddy who farted in my face in the Liberty Science Center tunnel, he, on our 8th grade trip, stole all the blankets from both the beds. We had 2 twin beds, and 4 guys had to sleep there, you know? So he took all the blankets from both the beds and wrapped himself in a cocoon. And then he was like, I'm too hot, turn on the AC. And so then I had to beat him, you know, to get one of the blankets back. This kid's an asshole.
You had to beat him up?
What? Shut up. No, I just had to get a blanket off him. I'm like, I'll fix your problem, you're too hot. How about give me a blanket, I'm freezing.
With your teeth?
No. With my hands? There's no right answer here. You put me in a corner of hand jobs. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is good. You keep burping in my face all day. I didn't get that one, but now we're recording.
Are you just recording? Stop burping.
You burped in my face 100 times during this thing, and then you make me open the window. You don't go for it.
I don't make you open the window.
Exactly.
You don't have to open the window.
No, but it's rude to burp in my face the whole trip. God damn, as soon as we got into New Jersey, like, we got through a section of road where there was like 100 signs that were like, yield, wait, coming from there, do not enter here, merge, yield. So scary, the roads in New Jersey, man.
That's why we all come out such aggressive drivers.
Yeah. And also, you know, in New Jersey, the auto insurance is the most expensive because there's the most people per cap per square mile in New Jersey. So, you know, a lot of Jersey circles, you know. Jersey circles are like those highway things, but they're everywhere in New Jersey, and they're awful. Very dangerous.
Those highway things?
What?
What highway thing?
The Jersey, you know, when I say Jersey circle and then say highway thing, you know, multiple exits on the same, like, turnabout.
I only know one of those in Flemington.
Oh, yeah? Well, they're everywhere, but for some reason I always knew them as Jersey circles. God, I just had to pee so bad. I have to pee.
Because 1 hour went by, so you had to pee.
Bingo, there you go.
Emergency, emergency.
I kept saying, it's getting bad now, and we pull over. It's always terrible. You pull over to any old gas station. I told the guy, you gotta pee. It's like we got in a bathroom. And then I'm like, okay. And then I just kind of walk out, and then I just kind of make my way behind a dumpster nearby. And I was standing there for a good 3 minutes, just solid peeing. And, you know, this classy lady pulls up in her Mercedes, you know, listening to her iPod. You know, it's probably, you know, stock tips or whatever. She gives me the most disgusted look. Because I'm behind this dumpster, but my head and shoulders are totally exposed. She just scowled at me like, you savage. But, look, I'm a guy, and I could just whip my dick out and start peeing, so...
It's just jealous. I'm jealous. I wish I could just pee anywhere. It's not so easy for girls.
Yeah. Well, you keep stomping at four-way intersections, so it's impossible for me to hide my dick from cars, oncoming cars and stuff.
That was, like, 10 states ago.
Yeah, whatever.
Get over it.
But you need a bathroom. You're not very... You only did pee once outside. Somewhere in the middle of the desert.
Well, that was because we stopped at a gas station in the middle of nowhere, and then it was closed, and
yeah. It
was an emergency.
But there was some kind of storage unit that we, you know, took turns pissing on. Did you see anyone coming?
Or... Yeah, there was a big truck that went by right when I pulled my pants down.
That's right. Yeah, just parked there and just hung out there, and then we just...
I had to go find another spot.
Do you think it was up to no good? Because it just parked in an abandoned gas station and just stood there. Yeah, just sat. Maybe, I don't know. Truck drivers do have, like, a cabin above them for sleeping, you know? So maybe it was one of those.
Yeah, it was broad daylight. I think he just wanted to watch me pee.
Yeah. So during this ride, also, our mom has called each of our phones twice. When she can't get a hold of us, she'll just call your phone, then my phone, then back to your phone, then back to my phone. She left you a voicemail, actually, because one of my friend's mom, unfortunately, passed away. And so I guess she's dealing with certain people, funeral directors. She called you up and, go on.
My mom is always, she's very concerned about the fact that I'm almost 30 and single right now.
You're gonna be a spinster.
She's telling me that my eggs are getting old. Really what she wants is grandchildren. So she's worried that my eggs are getting old. And so I need to find a husband pretty much ASAP and start pushing out the babies.
Right.
So she's trying to hook me up with people.
She hooked you up with that one really social guy, right? Look, you've been hearing to Emily on the podcast. We've been doing this road trip. You know, Emily makes out with randos at a club in North Carolina every once in a while. You know, she parties. And she set you up with somebody recently, you know.
I don't like to talk bad about people, but this guy is just really boring.
Okay. And, but this other guy, this new guy, this funeral director, right? That sounds like a good guy to get hitched out.
Yeah, she said that our grandma died a few months ago, and when she was at the funeral, she was just scoping out this funeral director. He's about my age. She said that he graduated from high school from the town next door to ours.
Oh, the town next door to us.
And she was saying that he'd be so perfect for you. Thanks, Mom. Not really into funeral home directors.
He probably smells like formaldehyde all the time.
That's what I'm thinking.
Just he sees death all day. He's always dealing with people in, like, their worst moments, you know, when, like, their lives are crashing down, just dealing with death. You know, there's a toe tag. He sees a receipt, ka-ching. You know, he's profiting off misery, you know.
Thanks, Mom. But no thanks.
And also, he lives in the middle of New Jersey. It could be in New York City, you know. Yeah.
Why would I want to date a funeral home director in Chester, New Jersey? I'm in Manhattan.
Look it up, people. It's about a 90-minute drive. Plus, you got the tunnel. Fucking $12 every time you go in the Lincoln Tunnel now.
The logistics would just be a nightmare. Alone.
Alone. Tell you one, remember Pecos, Texas?
Oh, God. Don't remind me.
what a shithole that place was. But there was one gorgeous building in the middle of Pecos, Texas. Big white columns, two-story, beautiful plantation-looking house. The funeral home. Sure, every time there's gang murders or whatever in Pecos, that funeral home, boom, making money, making money.
It's I don't think people are active enough in Pecos, Texas to form gangs.
They're all just sitting at home, just lazy, lazy, lazy people.
Yep.
The funeral home, though, that was so beautiful. The lawn was all trimmed. That place is making bank.
Well, when you have to buy 4X size caskets, you know, those are expensive.
Everyone's dying of Sonic-related heart attacks.
Double-wide holes in the ground.
There was a very big entrance and exit.
get like 15 pallbearers.
You know when you have to like you have to embalm a body? You know what I mean? You have to drain all. I bet it's just like high fructose corn syrup just drips out of these people. Fry grease. What?
Gross.
What? That's too far.
That's
talking
gory.
Fry grease. Well, Mom's trying to set you up with the funeral home director. You got to get with the business, you know? Embalming is part of the business.
Are the funeral home directors the ones who actually drain the bodies and put formaldehyde in them?
They do everything. Well, actually, I think that's just one guy. Well, it depends how big it is. I think there's definitely one who can be like a reconstructive surgeon if the person got his face blown off and then they want to... This is all coming from the show 6 Feet Under, by the way. You know, they have a reconstructed...
I think the director is just a glad hander, you know? He just
watches the money and, you know...
He's just the one who's like, I'm so sorry for our loss. He greets all the guests that come in.
And then he upsells them on the casket.
Right.
Hey, you know, you really loved your aunt, right? You wouldn't want her to go, I could just throw her in the dirt and let the dogs bite her ankles. But... Or you can get this $10,000 solid oak. Look, you're only going to buy her one more thing. Might as well be $10,000. Look at this. Look at all the money I can make. From your death. I hate funeral directors. Actually, I was working on Shark Tank, you know, and one of the guys on that show, you know, Shark Tank is a show where a bunch of, if you have an invention, you go on that show and, you know, billionaires give you money and they're, you know, they basically try to buy your product and give you like 1% or whatever back. But this one guy was saying, oh, I love the funeral business. You get mourners in and just upsell them. So they know what's going on. I wonder if Mom's going to listen to this. You know what I mean? What's she going to think? She just listens to me talk about, you know, boner dancing people.
I doubt she'll listen to it.
You don't think she's going to listen?
Are you still recording?
Yeah. I'm trying to catch you burp in my face. I want the people to know what I've been dealing with. Every time, you know, here's the other thing. Every time I start reaching for the bag, you start reaching for your cigarettes. Because you know, when the window goes up, when you turn the window down, I can't record because of the fucking air.
I was excited that we were done, so I could smoke another cigarette.
All right. This has been another episode of Highway Diaries. I've been your host, Eric Hollerbach, a.k.a. The Eagle. Caw-caw!
And Emily Hollerbach, a.k.a. Tiger Bomb. Wow.
This has been episode 17, Silver Spring, Maryland. That's another episode of Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. I got a stand-up show, guys. Another one. Flappers Burbank, Yoo-Hoo Room, Saturday, April 6th at 9:30. Check it out. Also, my mom's going to be there. to the club like, what up? I got a big cock. For a drummer, this is fucking my